Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates the class of 2024. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Mike Florio with Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Let's talk some football with Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, who joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. CircaLasVegas.com, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Mike, how are you?
Doing great. How's everybody today?
We're doing really well. We haven't had a chance to talk to you since the draft, so I know some of this ground you've already covered. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what happened with that number 8 pick. What have people told you about why Michael Penix Jr. was the choice for the Falcons?
Well, you know, the Falcons have their story. They're sticking to it. They will share it with certain members of the media who will then go on TV shows and radio and try to make sense of the nonsensical. And at the end of the day, it's an either-or proposition. Either you spend $100 million fully guaranteed on a veteran quarterback who is your guy for the next 2, 3, 4 years, or you sign a placeholder quarterback, a Mike Glennon-style guy, a more recently Gardner Minshew or Jacoby Brissett, and then you draft a quarterback in the top 10, and the guy you've signed in free agency for far less than $100 million fully guaranteed is in position to handle the job until the rookie is ready to go. This clashes two different philosophies, and it undermines, I think, everything they sold to Kirk Cousins. I believe that if Kirk Cousins were being completely truthful, he would say, I would have just stayed in Minnesota if I knew they were going to do this. He made a big deal about the owner, GM, head coach, and quarterback all being on the same page. They didn't even give him the book. He had no idea what was going on here. Instead of using the top 8 pick on making the team better so Cousins can be better and try to win a Super Bowl, they get a guy who, best case scenario, is going to sit on the bench for multiple years. It really makes no sense. And I wonder what it does to that vibe, to that relationship between Cousins and the Falcons. I think it does more harm than good. And look, I think it's just a matter of time before Penix plays, not 3, 4 years from now. I think he's going to play sooner than that.
Well, and the argument when people question the decision is, well, they can get out of Cousins' contract in 2 years. In my mind, that's still 2 years too many when you're talking about drafting a quarterback who's the age of Michael Penix. It still doesn't make sense to me. Ideally, even if you cut that contract in half, it's still $100 million guaranteed. The more I think about this scenario, the more it confuses me.
I almost feel like they have deliberately decided, and it reminds me of the Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes transition in Kansas City. But that was after Smith had been with the Chiefs for 4 years, and they decided Alex Smith has gotten us as far as he's ever going to get us. We need somebody to transform us into a Super Bowl contender, and we know from experience that Smith isn't the guy. It's like the Falcons have made that decision about Cousins before he ever even played a game for them. He's making the assessment between GM Terry Fontenot and head coach Raheem Morris based on Cousins' career. Then why do you sign the guy and give him $100 million fully guaranteed? It completely changes what they had sold us about Cousins. Cousins is going to be this guy that allows them to win. Oh, never mind the fact that we're not going to use the eighth overall pick on a guy that's going to help us win. We're thinking of a succession plan before Cousins has ever put on a helmet. It really makes no sense. Now, there's a chance they get lucky and it works, but I don't see how it ever works. And it's never going to be something they're going to be able to get away from. It's going to be a talking point constantly for Cousins, for Penix, for Morris, for Fontenot, for everyone, until Cousins is no longer a Falcon or until Penix is no longer a Falcon.
Mike, the idea has now been put out there, and usually when an idea is put out there, it means at some point it's happening, that the idea of the Super Bowl as secular holiday could be enshrined in a way that allows for another regular season game and one fewer exhibition game and finding a long weekend on which to put it on a Sunday when everybody can sleep in on a Monday. How is this going to end up working?
Well, look, there are no accidents when it comes to the National Football League. When we had Andrew Berry, the GM of the Browns, on set with us in Indianapolis at the Scouting Combine, he told us that the Browns were proposing a two-week delay in the trade deadline. 1 week for the 17th regular season game and another week in anticipation of 18. And I was like, oh, I thought they decided that they can't reconcile 18 games with this obsession, forced obsession, but still obsession with player health and safety. And I started talking to other people in Indianapolis. They're like, oh, yeah, 18's coming. They just hadn't been talking about it. Roger Goodell talks about it on Friday and ties it to the President's Day Super Bowl to get people on board with 18 games. Oh, we want President's Day weekend Super Bowl. Does that mean we have to have 18 games to get? All right, sign me up. Let's do it. Let's go. So I think it's just a matter of time before we get 18 games. I thought it would be next CBA. It looks like they might even try before then to get to 18 games. And then you have questions of, is there a second bye week? If so, to make it land on President's Day weekend for a Super Bowl, you got to start Labor Day weekend. And I just posted something at PFT. They abandoned Labor Day weekend 23 years ago because who's going to watch pro football when we're at barbecues and picnics and here, there, and everywhere? The world has changed, though, since then. I think if the NFL reclaimed Labor Day weekend, it would still generate a ton of money and it could play Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, and Monday night. Five primetime games, night after night after night after night to start the season. That's what they'd have to do with 18 games and two bye weeks. I think they should consider doing it anyway.
I feel like the President's Day discussion is an easy way to get the public on board while they sneakily add in the 18th regular season game that they've always wanted.
I agree. And look, I think 18 is a stepping stone to 19, and 19 will be a stepping stone to 20. When you hear Roger Goodell talk about the preseason and how it isn't real football, and he said that years ago to set up the push to 17. He originally wanted 18, but they recognized we can't go all the way to 18. We'll go 17 for now. They would like to make all 20 games because it's been 20 games forever. When I was a kid, it was 14 that counted and six preseason games. Think about that. Almost half of the regular season length was the preseason back then. They want games that count. They want people to bet. That's the thing they don't want to talk about, but it's more inventory for things to bet on. I know the degenerates will bet on the preseason, but it's not the same. It's more fantasy football, more prop bets that can be reliably estimated because you know who's playing, you know it's starters playing. They're going to push for 20. I think, now it may not be in my lifetime, but 18 for now, and we'll see where it goes from there. But yeah, it's 18, it's President's Day weekend, it maybe starts Labor Day weekend, and the NFL keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Mike, a week ago when we were talking to you, the Bears were holding a questionable press conference slash pep rally where they were giving their renderings on what a lakefront stadium might look like. And then, of course, they did a lot of fuzzy math that has now been found out to be about $2 billion short on what the people would have to pay for it. They had the mayor in their pocket. They do not have the governor in their pocket, and their people are meeting with the governor's people today. you've been tracking what's been going on in Kansas City. How would you compare and contrast the way that the Chiefs are going about trying to get a new stadium along with the Royals versus what the Bears are trying to do?
The bottom line is you have to find a way to do it without a public vote. And in Minnesota, when they got it done 12, 13 years ago, there was an argument to be made that those expenditures couldn't be made without putting it on the ballot. Kansas is trying to put something together that would lure the Chiefs across the border without a public vote. And that's really what it comes down to, working the back channels, the various levers of the political process to get the money without ever having the public go in.
What does that say, though? Like the statement that makes is crazy.
I know. Well, and the argument would be, we entrust the representatives who are elected directly by the people to make these tough decisions
about how gerrymandered districts.
Listen, it's a reality. And I think one of the reasons why Kansas, which tried to push something through before its annual legislative session adjourned earlier today, you know, the argument is, why are we giving all this money to people who can afford to pay for their own damn stadiums? And I think we're going to see that start to complicate the old-fashioned effort of working the political channels without a public vote. More and more people are realizing this just isn't going to fly. And, you know, whatever you're willing to spend for your stadium as the team, buy a stadium, build a stadium that costs what you're willing to spend, because we're not kicking in any public money. That's going to become the prevailing mood. And the only way it's going to break is if there's some other community out there that's willing to show up with a giant pile of money to try to lure a team the way Las Vegas did with the Raiders.
It's just, at the end of the day, it's just very frustrating that people who often say that they are anti-handouts have no problem giving money to billionaires. Like, that's the place I sit with it, is the other argument is they all want to move. Well, how many football teams and baseball teams are we going to have in this mythical city that they're all moving to? Like, time and time again, people have shown and studies have shown that this isn't profitable for the teams. And SoFi's the best example of that. SoFi's the best example. California said no to public stadiums, and the NFL wanted it there, and they helped, and everybody got a stadium built anyway.
And Stan Kroenke paid for SoFi Stadium himself, and he turns it into a business, and he makes a bunch of the money back. Look, this is one of the negative consequences, the good problem to have, I guess, as they would call it, of making so much money and having the franchise values go up and up and up. I mean, we are close to a day when it's going to be $8 to $10 billion minimum to buy a team. Minimum. They can't find people with enough money to buy teams. At some point, it's going to make it harder to convince the local politicians, state and local, to go along with these plans when the teams are worth an obscene amount of money. You want to build a stadium? Do what Terry Pegula's thinking about doing, to handle the overruns of a new Bills stadium. He's going to sell 25% of the team, and he's going to make enough money that he can pay for a big chunk of his new stadium. But I think that's the way this is moving, because people are going to be less and less understanding of this whole argument of, well, it helps the community to fund the stadium. They're going to be saying, you can pay for it yourself. Go pay for it.
You're here. People are smarter.
Well, let's hope so. But I also think that the Bills thing speaks to something that Dan and I, and Layla, I think we were having this conversation too last week, of when I look at the Bears, I have questions, Mike, about their liquidity. Like, the team might be worth $7 billion, but from the way that ownership is structured, would they even, like, I'm wondering, is this greed or is it necessity, Mike, where with the Bears, have they figured out, have they crunched the numbers and they're like, we can't come up with the cash that we need to build a stadium. Therefore, let's go back to the old way of doing it and let's see if we can get the public to help fund this thing.
Well, I think it's a combination of things. We could do it if we had to. We don't want to. And if there's free money out there that we can tap into, why not do that first? And then when that door gets slammed in your face, you come up with another way, which entails selling off a chunk of the team and coming up with the money necessary. And that's one of the realities of these ultra-rich people. It's not like they're walking around with, just to pick a random number, $455 million in cash that they can use for whatever purpose. You've got to do some work to free up that cash. But when you're sitting on an asset that is worth $8, $9, $10 billion, and if you own 100% of it, or whatever percent you own above the bare minimum to control it, you can sell that at a higher valuation, make the money back, and then use that for other things. So it's free and it's easy to just put your hand out to the government and act like you're entitled to have a stadium paid for. And between the Bears, the Chiefs, and to a lesser degree, the Bengals, because they're just trying to renovate their stadium. But we're going to have these pressure points where you may have local and state governments stand up and say, sorry, spend your own damn money. You've got more of it than you've ever had before.
And the NFL does too, though. Like the NFL, they're making up numbers when it comes to what the NFL will chip in. But if you're willing to put up the numbers that they're willing to put up to help, they've got more than that.
Well, right. But they believe that they're the biggest show in town and that these communities should bend over backwards to give the NFL what it wants. I mean, that's how the NFL deals with everyone. They are the biggest, baddest property around, and everybody will bow to them and give them what they want. Otherwise, we'll go do business with somebody else. And what they're finding out, there's only so many markets where you can viably do business in the United States. And if all of them are going to pivot toward, we're not giving you free money anymore, they're going to have to come up with another way, and they won't need to do a bake sale to afford, you know, renovating or building a stadium.
Mike, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great week.
That's Mike Florio. When we come back, we are going to talk a little bit more football. We had a guest on the Score airwaves yesterday who had been the subject of some conversation that we had on our show with Kalen Kaler. Will Hewlett, who was a high school quarterback collective coach of Caleb Williams, who is now getting some inside intel from Shane Waldron, told us about how far along Caleb Williams may be in learning what the Bears do.
It's exciting, and maybe it shows that from a football ops standpoint, the Bears are doing business the way that you would want them to do business.
I hope so. I think that's an optimistic look at it. I hope you're right.
Let's discuss it. We'll do it next. Bernstein, Holmes, Rahimi. Here on the Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
Yeah, so I think that is
that was probably a big motivation of them making their decision so soon, is to get ahead of things. So if they're not bringing other quarterbacks into the facility, they're not wasting time like trying to teach another quarterback parts of their offense while they're in on a visit, right? So there's definitely been teaching, I'll say this, the Bears have definitely been teaching Caleb their offense, and it's allowed.
They've used those 180 minutes per week that they are allowed to begin to start spoon feeding some of the offense. And then you find out at what rate he is able to digest and incorporate some of these things.
Or maybe they're shoveling it. Maybe spoon feeding.
Maybe they start out with a spoon feed, like, oh, you can go right to the trough. Put your face in. We'll slop the hogs. We'll get buckets of offense and we'll throw it into the trough and you can go over and eat all of it.
Offensive the day machine. That we talk about buckets of offense for the Bears.
Yak machine.
Is a wonderful day.
Maybe we're there. Let's ask Will Hewlett. Will Hewlett is a longtime quarterbacking coach who has worked directly with Caleb Williams. And because he's tight with Shane Waldron, they're using Hewlett as the conduit to begin getting him up to speed. And they have been doing this, as Kalen Kaler reported on this show. So Parkins and Spiegel asked Will Hewlett how much of the Shane Waldron offense is now being worked on with Caleb.
I have pieces. I don't have the plays. There's a certain level of, and again, it's not one of the things. I could have the plays, and would that really help? Because there's so many other layers that go into having a successful football play work. But we have the basic route concepts in terms of depths and timing, and then, how that matches together. And again, there's the NFL is somewhat of a copycat league, right, within the systems that are run. So there's stuff that we were already working on that it was just given a different name, instead of a pivot route, it's a thunder route or whatever the case may be.
So you have you have Shane Waldron terminology.
Yes, I have Shane Waldron terminology.
Okay. Is he changing his forward foot to be like Shane Waldron, or is he going to stay as a right foot forward guy?
So Shane, the conversation I had with Shane was he didn't have a preference on it because Russell Wilson was a right foot up guy. The only preference is that everything times up. So there, I think good coaches in the NFL, you've got to be able to work at, there's a level of comfort and change that you're willing to, give on. Right. And so if the quarterback is already having a high level of success doing it a certain way, and they've been doing it that way for the past 3 or 4 years, are we just going to change it to change it? Or are we going to just try to make the best out of it and match it into the system that we have? Which happens a lot of the time, when you get big established starting quarterbacks in the NFL move to different teams, they're going to bring in typically their footwork and match it to the system. Usually with a rookie quarterback, it's going to be, you're going to insert in to how we do it. But he had, Caleb's had a lot of success doing things the way that he's been doing it. We went back and forth. We tried both different ways multiple times and we just kind of settled. Hey, listen, I think things are going to time up. He felt better going right foot forward. Now, listen, that may all change. He gets to rookie camp. He goes, this is going to time up better, but we've worked on both enough to where I think he could probably do that, but it's a level of comfort. But then, as long as it's hitting the right timeline, then we're good to go.
You mean to tell me,
wait a second,
that good coaching might be to let the player keep doing what they're doing?
But I was told that they have to change which foot is forward in order to make the entire offense work, for the anticipated drift and whatnot, because everybody's at the line of scrimmage to start.
It's very interesting.
As receivers.
It's very interesting that you would work with the player and then say, hey, what are you comfortable doing? And then the player like, well, let me try it out a couple of ways and go, I like doing it this way. Okay, then let's do it that way.
And you give them information in advance to prepare them. Hmm. Almost like you're not asking them to prove you wrong.
It's very interesting.
Isn't that good coaching? Something?
It sounds like good coaching to me.
And as you pointed out,
that's on me.
He has the plays.
They've got the plays.
Come on, man. Why wouldn't you? You better have the play.
We've got the terminology and the plays.
We have the route concepts and the depths. You
You have the plays.
And we have the hot reads.
Yeah, that's okay. You don't have to tell us you don't. We get it.
I think they're, you know, they're being careful because they don't want to, they don't want to open up any exposure to the Bears for being punished for tampering, even though they had the number one pick and everyone knew who they were going to pick. I like this.
And there's no rule against them having the plays.
I like that this is big boy football. We figured out that we're drafting Caleb. And now what we're going to do, we're going to get Caleb ready to play football. We're going to give him the play. We're going to give him the route concepts and the terminology and the plays. And we're going to get him ready to play football. That's the way that it's supposed to go.
Caleb,
I love seeing this.
Caleb, we sent a PDF to your email. Just check it out.
You should check it out. Yeah. And, you know, maybe you can make some suggestions.
And maybe memorize it. I don't know.
Maybe memorize it so that when you come in here for rookie minicamp, we can just start going. How about that? Look at the Bears football operations playing like big boys now.
Yeah, blue eye flag Texas check with me.
That's just right, Robin Mead.
That just that might be, you know, what we call it, kind of, maybe. Just,
yeah.
You might want to familiarize yourself with something.
That's
like
something that you might want to get used to saying very often.
I'm not mad about any of this.
I'm not either. I'm happy. Like, this is how it's supposed to look. I don't know if it's going to work, but this is best practices type stuff.
It is. And that's the most encouraging part about all of this. Instead of coming from a place where perhaps people weren't set up to succeed in such a linear way, in such a straightforward way.
That's on me.
Do it for the next person, at least. At the very bloody least.
I love hearing. And again, we haven't said it enough. Shout out to Kaylin Kaler, because she had this. Like, she knew this before anyone else that this was going on, and she shared it with the Score audience. Like, that's top-notch reporting that's now been verified by the people.
This text from the 773 says, Caleb, read this short story I wrote called Bears Plays. This is lovely. This is like Raymond Carver.
Spider 2, why banana?
Fascinating.
That looks interesting to me.
I love your allegorical use of the Korean War to happen to explain exactly where the U tight end should be going.
Or maybe the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Hell yeah. The beautiful part about it, beautiful part about it is that this book also comes with pictures. So,
illustrations, you say?
Yes. So that, you know, you could say, hey, why does Spider 2Y banana, you want to know what it looks like? It's right here. We have a whole reader for you so that you can see what it looks like.
I'm waiting for the response to this to be, I have no idea what this offense is, and we're just walking around out there.
I've only
and this dance goes on for several months.
I the only thing I know is run by a team called the Schmears. I know everything the Schmears run, but I know not of what you speak of this other football team.
Also, I laugh because the bear claw thing is the Baylor Sikkim Bears hand symbol.
Bears.
That was, and sure. Caleb was in the Big 12. It was a big no-brainer when I saw it. I'm into it.
Bears.
It'll work. That's still.
I still can't believe that's Robin Mead.
Also, we will have it to at some point run the news story on this. I think it works, even though you can't see it. I think the audio works. I still don't understand. Layla, you sent us this clip. I still don't even understand why she said bear in that way.
The great CJ Zero, he of finding everything interesting on the internet, sent it to me. And then I said, you two need to see this.
Maybe we should get Robin Mead on the show.
Wasn't
she
Channel 5?
To talk about the origin of the Bears.
Yeah, she was local.
Yeah, she was at Channel 5 for a long time.
She was tossing to some bear fight.
Which is
video
fine.
Of two right. bears fighting.
Exactly, but in the context of watching her, you know, go to that story and explain that story, I still don't understand why she said it that way.
Which
is fine. It's great.
We need to get to the bottom of this.
I'm telling you, when you're on TV by yourself in front of a camera for multiple hours like that, stuff is just going to come out. You know, it's just going to happen. It's like when people ask us, what was that thing you said on Thursday? I don't remember.
I can't remember the last hour. The show is over.
Yeah, I purposefully stop remembering.
Thursday, I have people come up to me and say, remember that thing you said in 2004? I called in immediately after. What? No.
Page 7 of the book.
No,
I write 34 Switchblade. Yeah, and this is what it looks like.
Okay. I hope the Bears book.
There was a way for me to remember this by referring to something that I could have in some sort of, you know, written form.
Uh-huh. I like it. Okay, so there's one more from you that we need to play because it's one of the concerns that people have kind of glossed over with Caleb because everything else is like A or A plus work. He did have 33 fumbles, and fumbling at the quarterback position, not great. As witnessed by what happened over the last couple of years. Here's what you had said on what they're trying to do to help that not be a problem.
You got to look at every turnover, every fumble, everything with nuance and understand the situation. You know, with Anthony Richardson, it was an inaccuracy issue, right? And not all misses are built the same. You know, one of the things Caleb did was essentially in terms of, you know, creating extra time to throw. There was no one better and no one more elite than Caleb in college football. And I think sometimes, and I don't think he would deny it, you know, he's put in a situation where he's got to do maybe a little too much, kind of hero ball, or baller mode, we kind of say. And I think he's hungry for structure, which it's tough, you know, with a college game, you're a college coach, obviously you can recruit guys, but you know, you can't necessarily draft a left tackle that's going to be able to be a lock fit for you to not give up any sacks. And so Caleb's a competitor. I think you've got to, you know, find the fine line there of like, listen, we may risk a turnover here or there with this style of play, but it's ultimately the reason why, you know, they're able to win games and put all the points up that they're able to when you're kind of playing from behind or always playing catch up with pressure on. So I think the pro game is going to be so good for him because the structure level is going to be so much higher. And he's not going to have to be the best player on the field every single play. He's got Keenan Allen, and then, you know, a tons of Cole Kmet, a bunch of really good, talented, you know, high level NFL players where his goal is just to get the ball in their hands. So, you know, the structure of the NFL game will work to his skill sets nicely, and he's ready for that.
Studs, how did you make the bear raid siren go off while we were talking bears? Is the building on fire?
There's a fire drill or the building is on fire.
It's a drill.
Hey, this is the second time we have a strobe light going on in the studio.
Yeah, but remember this time Monday? It's intentional.
And then they tell you it's a drill on the speaker. Nobody's downstairs. I heard
this
it.
This is a fire drill. She just said it.
Oh, yeah, well, she said it earlier.
Mandatory personnel.
We don't have to leave anyway. We're considered essential. We have to stay on air.
Titanic, baby.
The fur jokes and mascots are essential.
The world must have penis jokes.
If the building's on fire, I'm leaving. That's
In a real emergency, we leave.
And we're on the ninth floor, so we can book it down the stairs.
And then we just put up CBS Sports Radio.
With a pause. There has to be a 2-second pause before it starts, where we all freak out during the break that something's gone wrong.
I think we should, in the event of a fire, not play our friends at Infinity Radio Network,
Odyssey,
which is now it's called.
Sports,
yeah, we
whatever.
Should just put a loop of all the different new Bears Caleb Williams drops we
the
have.
Bears. We should do a Bears montage. That would be amazing.
Bears.
It really does sound like a ceremonial ring when you think about it, like a ceremonial chime.
Bear down, baby.
Bears.
You know how high noon is next? If we can sit through this.
Well, we're going to take a break, and hopefully it'll be over
laughing at all this stuff about these stories that they happen to be sending to Caleb Williams, where it says it was the best of times. It was the spider 2Y banana of times.
Ah, yes. I'm familiar with that great work.
And the 847, once upon a time. In a land far away, there was Trips Right 44 Counter Sprint Kill to X Hot.
That's fantastic.
Great work.
It says on two on here for some reason.
I made an impulse purchase yesterday that was not the kind that I usually make.
Not chicken in a bag?
It wasn't chicken in a bag.
Or just Havarti? Throw
it
in
it, the it, bag. Wasn't, it wasn't discount meat.
Was it a car?
Wasn't, it wasn't
a new car!
Did you buy the same car that Russ has?
I didn't buy a car. It was something I read something in the newspaper.
Roller skates?
Did you buy a house?
And I read it and immediately looked at my wife and I said, "This looks awesome." And
White Sox season tickets.
And it is. We did buy tickets to something.
A marshmallow torch.
We did buy tickets to something. I will let you judge the impulse purchase, and then I'll be able to tell you on Monday if it made sense or not.
Guys, you know how people keep talking about the Roman Empire these days? I have a feeling that might be where HomeGoods started.
At the Roman Empire?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I
don't have anything. I'm just going to sit back and relax and strap it down and listen to you guys and comment.
Maybe you'll review some route trees.
Yeah.
Just as a for instance, I'm not trying to tell you what to do.
Maybe I'll go Ram 24 Elite. I don't know. Bernstein, Holmes, Rahimi, here with you until 2 on the score.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is high.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
In Odyssey Station.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
Wednesday, high noon. You know what that means. You've already worked hard this week, so this is the midpoint of your work week. And now you can take a deep breath and you can just ride the backside of the roller coaster on down into the weekend.
Still requires consent.
What did we discuss? Well, the Cubs are good but kind of bad, and the Sox are bad.
They're real bad.
And Mike Florio was good. And the stuff that Will Hewlett had about they're still being coy and overly careful about what they're saying about what the Bears have been teaching Caleb Williams. It's okay. It's more than okay. It's awesome. So if you got it, flaunt it. Go ahead and say, oh, yeah. We're mainlining everything he needs to know and just to make sure he's up to speed for rookie minicamp.
One more book text. He was a big, ugly, slick-haired, yeller dog. Wing right, fake Z, reverse 38 pitch.
That ends sadly, though.
Real quick, the Bernstein Bears, the Chicago Bernstein Bears book was my favorite.
Pretty good.
Of course, it says Berenstain.
Well, that's how it's actually written.
Pronounced.
Yeah. It is?
Uh-huh.
I always forget how it was actually said. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stan and Jan Berenstain, I believe. No even distant relation.
Okay, so you know I love a good archaeological finding. So there has apparently been an amateur archaeological finding that is a dodecahedron, a 12-sided object, and nobody knows what it is. So then I looked at it, and you know what it looks like?
The Dharma Initiative?
Decor. It looks like something you would have put in your house that you probably found at HomeGoods. Everybody's like, oh, nobody knows what this is, and it's a 12-sided object, and it's just one of 33 known to exist in Roman Britain, and it's one of archaeology's great enigmas. I can't even read this seriously, because I'm like, is there a chance it's just somebody's decor? Like, it didn't serve as a weapon or something, and that's why there's not very many of them left? Like, it was just a thing you had at Roman Empire Home Goods?
That looks like a baby toy my kids had.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
That's what it looks like. It looks like a toy where you'd and things would like you'd push things into each one of the openings. It was like an infant toy.
It just looks like something that's decorative or fanciful. Like that had to start somewhere. You think that we're the ones who created this? Like our generation? No, hard no. Knickknacks and such.
Or maybe it was an orb of some kind of power to be brandished with a scepter in your other hand.
But hear me out.
So
what if they also just had decorative things?
I'm sure they did.
Like we hear all about like urns and vases from certain times. Ming Dynasty. Shout out to the Ming Dynasty and their vases and urns. But what if they also had those in the form of dodecahedrons?
They had like, their own like Pier 1 imports.
Pretty much. Yeah. It had to start somewhere. Am I crazy for this?
No.
No. I don't think there's anything. They're presuming there's a use for it. But maybe there isn't. Maybe the use
why
is.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Maybe the use is you put it in the foyer.
You've had disapproving face on today.
I have?
Yeah.
That's just resting bitch face.
No. I know that.
White Sox segments will do that to you.
True.
There's the face that Lawrence makes when he's like disappointed in you as a broadcaster.
I'm not. I think that you're very valid in your belief that it might just be decor.
You guys worked hard on the show today to be here. But I'm telling you, I think it's just decor. Like, I would love for some person to come back from the Roman Empire and be like, you guys are making way too much out of everything. A lot of this was just stuff we put in our houses.
Let's put my feet up on this thing. That's what we did.
So I don't miss a Chris Jones theater review in the Tribune, in my online Tribune subscription. And yes, I have gone to the entirely online subscription now. Because I think he's a wonderful writer, and I think he's that Chris, in a lot of ways, is one of these major market treasures to have, the fact that he's in Chicago doing what he does. And I read all the stuff, and I saw a 4-star review. I'm like, this looks awesome. And I finished the review, and I looked at Beth, and I sent it to her. I said, I'm airdropping something to your phone. And she read it, and she's like, what do you want me to do? I said, I want you to buy tickets right now. And she did. So we're going Friday night. Because Eddie Izzard is in town.
Nice.
Doing Hamlet solo. He's doing all the parts. What we used to call dramatic interpretation. I competed in the comedy side of that, the humorous interpretation where you do all the parts. For a 10-minute period, he is doing 2 hours and 20 minutes. He is doing Hamlet.
So what is he also? Did he invite Quick Change to help him out?
And I should say she. I believe she goes now.
Featuring
Eddie,
Quick Change.
Right? No, she. Eddie on stage, Susie off stage, and I believe her preferred pronoun is she when referred to off stage as Susie. But she is doing. It's not comedy.
Well, yeah, but I'm still wondering, is there like a quick change element? Like, is it turn your back and then...
It's everything we learned in forensics, everything we learned. Each character has a different voice. Each character has different mannerisms. Each character has a different focal point. And
so there you go.
Sometimes standing differently. There's all ways to... But this, I saw this, I'm like, oh my God, and there's a lot of tickets available. Because I guess there aren't that many... big Hamlet fans and or Eddie Izzard fans. I have seen her twice. I saw her at the Schubert and which is the other Nederlander River on various comedy tours here, which have been, of course, fabulous because she's the best. And it's not that I think it's $100 or so a ticket to Chicago Shakespeare Theater, but there's a million good seats for a one-person show. And why not? I'll give you the review on Monday. I'll give you the report. But this is one of these things like, it's only here a week, and then it's going to London.
Well, anything is probably better than Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet.
Well, that's referenced in the review here, actually.
Is it? How so?
This Chris Jones says, not only was Izzard one of the very few comics who could fill arenas, she is one of an even more rarefied group, stand-ups who not only can do a very credible one-person Hamlet, but also have the chutzpah to say to their fans, this time I'm doing Shakespeare, suckers, not telling jokes. And Izzard does find some laugh lines that eluded Kenneth Branagh and Mel Gibson, as one would hope.
Well, theirs was all just one frantic note.
Yes, but they were just playing one role.
Well, and supercilious.
But they were also just playing Hamlet. It's just she's not affecting reduced Shakespeare parody here. For those of us who know Hamlet like the back of our hands, there are revelations on tap far more than I anticipated. Well, there'll
all right.
be that too.
That's good because Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet was quite the buzzkill.
It was
over-emoted.
Yeah, it was a caricature of itself. Great. You're right, Lawrence, you're right. You need the hand.
Yeah, I just did Hamlet. Well, I've had the skull.
Alas, poor Yorick.
Yeah. I knew him, Horatio.
There's Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead is playing at the University of Chicago right now.
I competed against that in humorous interpretation.
I'm not surprised.
Because that's Tom Stoppard, right?
Not one bit of my surprise.
Is that Tom Stoppard?
It doesn't matter. Break.
Yeah.
Break!
Break! What's next? Oh, Bears Stadium hijinks. The comedy act that is the Bears Stadium rollout makes its own stop on its tour. Have fun with this.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.